ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, sloka number 9. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtaya Manash Chayam Vishayam Upasevate. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtaya Manas Chayam Vishayan Upasevate. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtaya Manas Chayam Vishayam Upasevate. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtaya Manas Chayam Vishayam Upasevate.
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha
Adishtaya Manas Chayam
Adishtaya Manas Chayam
Vishayam Upasevate
Vishayam Upasevate.
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha
Adishtaya Manaschayam
Adishtaya Manaschayam
Vishayan Upasevate
Vishayan Upasevate.
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha
Adishtaya Manaschayam
Adishtaya Manaschayam
Vishayan Upasevate
Vishayan Upasevate.
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevate. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevate. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtaya Manaschayam विषयान् उपसेवते।
श्रोत्रम्
श्रोत्रम्
ears
ears
चक्षु
eyes
eyes स्पर्शनम्
स्पर्शनम्
touch
touch
cha also
also
rasanam
rasanam
tongue
tongue
granam
granam
smelling power
smelling power
eva
eva
also
also
cha
cha
and adishtaya
adishtaya
being situated in
being situated in
mana
mana
mind
mind
cha
cha
also
also
ayam
ayam
he
he
visayan
visayan
sense objects
sense objects
upasevate
upasevate
enjoys
enjoys.
Translation: the living entity thus takes another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. Please repeat. The living entity.
The living entity.
Thus taking another gross body.
Thus taking another gross body.
Obtains a certain type of ear.
Obtains a certain type of ear.
Eye,
eye,
tongue,
tongue,
nose,
nose,
and sense of touch,
and sense of touch,
which are grouped about the mind.
Which are grouped about the mind.
He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects.
A particular set of sense objects.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In other words, if the living entity adulterates his consciousness with the qualities of cats and dogs, in his next life, he gets a cat or dog body and enjoys. Consciousness is originally pure, like water. But if we mix water with a certain color, it changes. Similarly, consciousness is pure, for the spirit soul is pure. But consciousness is changed according to the association of the material qualities. Real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. When therefore one is situated in Krishna consciousness, he is in his pure light. But if his consciousness is adulterated by some type of material mentality, in his next life he gets a corresponding body. He does not necessarily get a human body again. He can get the body of a cat, dog, hog, demigod, or one of many other forms, for there are 8,400,000 species. Om Jnana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sakratatam Sahagana Radhanathan Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Nikamscha. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare Hare. So the Bhagavad Gita is divided into three main sections of yoga. In the first six chapters, Lord Krishna is essentially describing karma yoga, working with detachment to the result, attached to work but detached from the result, offering the result of our work for the satisfaction of the Lord. Then, in the middle portion of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7 to chapter 12, Lord Krishna describes the highest yoga. At the end of the sixth chapter, he had already mentioned yoginam api sarvesham madgatin antaratmanam, that the highest of all yoga is to work with devotion for the pleasure of the Supreme. So Lord Krishna goes on to describe devotional service in these middle chapters. 7 through 12 are all describing bhakti yoga. How to absorb ourselves, how to think of the Lord, and how to please Him. After describing bhakti yoga, the final portion of the Bhagavad Gita, chapters 13 up to 17 or 18, they're describing essentially jnana yoga. Jnana yoga, knowledge of the Supreme Lord and His energies and how the living entity should work in this world in relationship with the Lord. So the 13th chapter describes that according to how we associate with the modes of nature, we meet with happiness in distress in different conditions of life. So that led Lord Krishna in the 14th chapter to give us more information about the three modes of material nature. And that continued into the 15th chapter, Yoga Purushottam, where Lord Krishna began the 15th chapter describing the banyan tree. The banyan tree is appropriate because Lord Krishna compares that there's a tree which has its roots up and its branches down. That tree is like a reflection of the real tree. A good example, because the reflection of the tree is comparing this material world. That just as when the tree is reflecting on water, then it appears that the branches are up, or branches are down, and the roots are up. In the same way, this material world is like a reflection of the real world. There's another world, another existence besides this existence. So Lord Krishna then described the nature of the spiritual world, that there is an abode where there is no need of sun or moon or electricity, that everything is self-illuminating. However, Lord Krishna described that the living entities are not able to enter into that spiritual world because they're conditioned by the material nature. They're struggling very hard with the six senses. Six senses because he includes also the mind. Because of our struggle in this material world, we're not able to enter into the real abode, a real home, the spiritual world. We're in this temporary place of ignorance. The material world is described earlier in the Bhagavad Gita as being a temporary place of misery. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Mamupaitya punarjanma dukalayam ashashvatam. Natnovanti mahatmana samsidim paramangata. Lord Krishna says, those great souls who are yogis in devotion, they do not return to this material world because they know it to be a temporary place of misery. Dukkha-alayam ashashvatam. Dukkha-alaya. They're just like in Hindi language, there is pustakalaya, means a place of books. And we have all heard of Himalaya. Himalaya, a place of snow. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dukkha-alaya, a place of suffering. This is the nature of the material world. But we're reading tonight, Lord Krishna is describing how the living entity transmigrates from one body to another. And we take a particular set of sense objects. We develop eyes and nose and mouth. The different senses are all arranged according to our consciousness. And our particular consciousness is focused on enjoyment. We want to enjoy the senses. This is the problem of material existence. We are trying to find happiness where there is no real happiness. We are thinking that we can get pleasure from the senses. There is some illusion of pleasure from the senses. That in itself is the greatest problem with material existence. That we imagine that we're actually happy and we're comfortable here in this world. We think, I've worked hard, I've got my life organized now, I have my place to live, I have my friends or family, I have some possessions, I have some maybe vehicle or maybe some bank balance, and in this way I am comfortable in this material world. But this is all the dream, because all of these things are temporary. They cannot save us from the problems of material existence. And the problems of material existence are there for every one of us. And they begin from birth. Because we have taken birth, so it means we also have to die. We never think, of course, about death. In the Mahabharata, there is an incident where Maharaj Yudhisthira is obliged to answer questions put by a yaksha. And one of the questions was, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? Maharaj Yudhisthira replied, Ayani ayani hani gacchanti cha yamalaya. The most wonderful thing in this world is that although we have seen that everyone has had to die, that we are always thinking, I won't die. That I won't have to. We're not preparing for that. We're thinking, anyway, I will arrange, when it comes, I will counter it. I will have a good doctor. I will have the nice medicine. I will have some means to counteract whatever problems come. But no one can conquer over the material energy. No one can conquer Maya, illusion. No. One time there was a great king called, in England, the king's name was Canute. So King Canute, people all loved him so much, they thought he was a very great man. They said, our king is so powerful that even if he orders the sea to go back, even the sea will obey his orders. So the king, of course, knew this was ridiculous. So he instructed, he said, all right, put my throne on the beach and I will sit there and I will tell the sea to go back. So as the tide was out, they put his throne there on the beach. And then gradually the tide started coming in again. And he would sit there on his throne and say, go back, go back. But still the tide kept coming, until he was swimming. So, like this, material nature is not under the control of any man of this world. One time in China, there's a story that there was one queen, and she was also very powerful. She had a great kingdom. Everyone had to heed her order. So that at one point she ordered a particular flower that it had to bloom out of season. She ordered this flower, bloom, open now, I order you. And so the flower would not obey her order. So she ordered, get all of these flowers out of my kingdom. They cannot stay in my kingdom if they won't obey me. So in this way, the flower, this particular variety of flower, was removed from her kingdom. So like this, everyone is thinking to control material nature. It is not possible that we can control material nature. We see, for example, in the jungle, there are powerful animals like the lion. The lion is the king of the jungle. And when other animals know that the lion is coming, then the lion will leave that place. They will not remain there. But the cubs of the lion, they remain. The cubs, the offspring of the lion, they're not afraid of the lion, because they have taken shelter of the lion. Similarly, the river is flowing to the sea. Rivers all flow down the mountains to the sea. But tiny fish, they can swim upstream. They know the art of swimming upstream. If we go and take our bath in the flowing river, we are carried downstream. But a tiny fish knows the art of swimming upstream, because the fish has taken shelter of the river. So he can go against the nature of the river. In the same way, we can also conquer over material nature by taking shelter of the controller of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Mayajya kshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena konteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is moving under my direction, O son of Kunti. So the material nature is not independent. Atheistic people think that material nature is the cause of life, that everything has come simply from the combination of chemicals, that chemicals themselves are the cause of consciousness. But we cannot prove this. No one can take chemicals and create life. That has not been done. Although scientists say in the future we will do it, at the present moment no one has done it. In fact, if we say to them, all right, it may be too much for you to create life now, so produce something less than life. Let us see something else that you can create. Can you produce an egg? Maybe you cannot create human life, but could you create an egg? But scientists also cannot do that. The chicken can do that, but the scientists cannot. We say, can you produce one grain of rice in your laboratory? That also they cannot do. But the farmers can go in the fields and plant and harvest rice every year, every season. is they control the rice. Rice is produced by the grace of the Supreme Lord. So material nature is like a mother. In order for a woman to be a mother, there has to be a father. Women cannot conceive children on their own without the cooperation of a willing father. In the same way, material nature also has a father. There's a personality behind this creation, and that personality is God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the controller of this material nature. When we surrender to that Supreme Personality, then we can cross over the material nature. Devi hiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratilya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Material nature is very difficult to overcome. But if we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, then we can cross over it easily. So this Bhagavad Gita is explaining to us the process of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, crossing over this material nature. By crossing over this material nature, we are no longer forced to take birth again in this material world. In the purport we read this evening, Srila Prabhupada explains how the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another. The Vedas describe there are 8,400,000 different species of life. And from these 84 lakh species, 4,400,000 species of life are human species. So human species are very much in the minority compared to the other species. So many other species of life are there. The human life is very special. It's a responsibility. In the human form of life, we can inquire and we can understand the purpose of life. We should learn how to enjoy not the senses, but how to enjoy on a higher platform. I was speaking that the cause of the entanglement of the living entity in this material world is the desire to enjoy. Now, the desire to enjoy is not wrong, but it's a matter of how we try to enjoy. By nature, we are all pure spirit souls, and the nature of the soul is anandamaya vyasa. The nature of the soul is made for pleasure. It is pleasure seeking. We want, by nature, we want to enjoy. But there is proper enjoyment and improper enjoyment. When we try to enjoy independently of the Supreme Lord, then this is the cause of our entanglement. Improper enjoyment of the material energy is like a thief taking what is not his own property. If someone comes to your home and steals something, you will call the police. You will say, he has stolen something from my house. In the same way, in the material world, living entities, we try to exploit the resources of the Supreme Lord. We are taking what is not actually our property. This material world is not ours. It is the creation of the Supreme Lord. Everything comes from Him. And this world is His property. But we come into this world and we are claiming, this is mine, this belongs to me. my house, my car, my money, and we're using it for our enjoyment independently of the Supreme Being. So this is the cause of our entanglement. Because we are trying to enjoy independently of the Supreme Lord, we're forced to enter into different species of life within the material world. Sometimes we rise up and take birth in the higher planets as a demigod, and other times we fall back down to this earth planet to become a human, and we can also go into lower species of life. Sometimes we swim in the sea as a fish, sometimes we're living in the tree as a bird, sometimes we're crawling in the earth as a worm. We have been through many different species of life. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna was telling Arjuna that he had spoken this message of Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vivishwan. So Lord Krishna, or rather Arjuna, when he heard this, Arjuna was surprised. How could you speak this knowledge to the sun god? The sun god is senior by birth to you. You're the same age as I am. How could you speak this knowledge to the sun god? Then Lord Krishna told Arjuna, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjuna. Tani aham veda sarvani natvam veda parantapa. Many, many births both you and I have had, O Arjuna. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. This is the difference between us and the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna can remember all of his incarnations, all of his births. We do not. We are thinking this life. I have taken this birth, this is my life. And we are thinking that we will live forever in this body, but actually many, many lives we have had. We just don't have the memory of them. Why not? Because we want to enjoy. We have come here to enjoy independently of God. And in order to enjoy, that memory has to be taken away. If we had the memory of our past lives, we would not enjoy. The pleasure would not be there. But because we want to enjoy, Krishna takes away that memory. And according to our consciousness, our subtle body in the previous life, it determines the type of body we take in this life. And in the same way, our consciousness at the end of this life will determine the body we take in the next life. We want to enjoy a particular tongue, eyes, nose, ears, these senses. And in order to enjoy, we are given this human body. The human body is the most precarious of bodies, because all five senses are active. All five senses are demanding attention. The ear wants to hear nice things. The eyes want to see the pleasant sight. The nose wants the nice smell. The skin wants to feel the nice sensation. Srila Prabhupada explains, just like if a man has five wives and he goes shopping, then each wife says, I want to go here. And the other wife says, no, I want to go there. Each wife is pulling in a different direction. So like this, we are living in this body with these five senses, struggling to control our mind and senses. All of us, the ladies, it's like having five husbands, you know. You know, it's the same. It's not just only man, but the women also have the, you know, the same situation. We're struggling with the senses. We have to learn to control the mind and senses. This is the process of yoga, to train us to control the mind and senses. Instead of being godas, we have to become goswami. It is not just simply a position or a title, but it is a science of controlling the mind and senses. And each and every one of us should be goswamis. We should be controllers of our mind and senses. Controlling the mind and senses does not mean stopping the activity of the mind and senses. We should not think we have to make the mind blank. Neither should we think it wrong to use the senses. But rather, we have to use our mind and senses in activities which are not against the laws of nature. When we use our mind and senses in the service of the Supreme Lord, then that is the proper use of the mind and senses. We should absorb our mind in thinking of the Supreme Lord. In order to think of the Lord, it is important for us to know about Him. The Lord is not some formless energy or light, but He is a personality, and He is a possessor of unlimited energies. Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Shuryate. The Lord possesses inconceivable potencies. We have to understand that the cause of this whole cosmic creation, behind everything, there is a transcendental person. Just as you and I are persons, so there is also a person behind this creation. God is not impersonal, but He is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal feature is subordinate to His personal feature. The personal feature contains also the impersonal aspect. So light and energy come from His personality. He is a person. We have to understand and know about this personality, engage our mind in hearing about Him and learning from Him. We have to also use our senses in the service of that Supreme Personality. This is all yoga. Yoga means to link with the Supreme. When we use our mind and senses in the service of the Supreme, then this is yoga. By linking our mind and senses, then our consciousness will be purified. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport how in the material world our consciousness becomes contaminated. Or just like water, if you put some chemical into the water, then it can take some color. Or if you have some colored paper and you look through the color, or colored glasses, and you look through colored glasses, then everything you see is colored. So in the same way, our consciousness becomes affected by our activities, by how we think, by how we act. And this thinking and acting causes us to take another body. So we have to learn how to think and act in a manner in which we can elevate ourselves. Elevate ourselves not just simply to a higher life, but beyond this material world into the transcendental existence. We have to learn how to think and act transcendentally. This is bhakti yoga. When we use our senses and mind in the service of the Supreme Lord, then we become in union with the Supreme, and we become qualified to enter into His abode. Upon giving up this body, you never have to take another birth again. That is the goal of yoga. Perfection in yoga. No more birth and death. So, this is the message from Bhagavad Gita. If you want to remain in this material world, then it is risky. Now you have the human body, but the risk is you may not next time be so fortunate. We can easily lose this human form of life. Even you're doing pious activities and deeds, just some mistake, some unknowing mistake can be enough to put you into the lower species of life. In Krishna Lila, there's an example of Maharaj Nriga. He was doing great charity. He was giving so much wealth in charity, cows, everything, to brahmanas, to highly qualified persons, the highest charity. But he made one little mistake. Unknowingly, he gave the same cow to two different brahmanas. And the two brahmanas came and complained, how you could do this? You gave me this cow, now you're giving it to him? That is like stealing from a brahman. And stealing from a brahman is a great sin. You give something to a brahman and then take it back without his permission and give it again to someone else. That is like stealing from a brahman. If you steal from a brahman, it is very simple. You're put into terrible, a lower species of life. You have to suffer. So, Maharaj Nriga, although he did so much charity, he made this one small mistake, and because of this mistake, he entered into a lower species of life. So danger is there for all of us. But if you do some simple service for the Supreme Lord and for His devotees, then you can get the greatest benefit. You can be relieved from material existence. We are given the opportunity to go on and continue the process of devotional service. So this is the purport of Bhagavad Gita we are explaining tonight. We will stop now and ask if there is any question or comment from the audience. Yes, Prabhu? Please come.
Story of Nriga and the Brahmanas. It's the qualification of Brahmana to be detached and to be forgive, means forgive others and be equal and all. But in this case, both are fighting and keeping that fact that he donated 1 lakh cows to them. So with this fact, it doesn't appear that they are Brahmanas. And even if somebody offends such a kind of personality, their curse should not affect person like Nriga. His character is so high. So how come do we have to be careful only about people who are with high character or everyone?
Well, you should not minimize the character of the Brahmanas. They just simply wanted to understand what happened. Why did Maharaj Nriga do this? You know, they were, because it was a fault on his part, so they had, you know, they came back and they inquired from him that, you know, why would you do this? But the Brahmanas, you should not say they were not good high, they were very high quality, high character brahmanas. He had personally selected them as being qualified to receive charity from him. He was not giving charity to just any brahmanas, but he was selecting brahmanas who lived a frugal life, who lived very simply and austerely, and who were learned in the Vedas. And he considered them worthy of charity. But he made some mistake. So they were puzzled that, you know, how could you do this? So the mistake was nothing to do with the brahmanas. And they didn't curse Maharaj Mriga, but you know, Maharaj Mriga had made this mistake. And they couldn't rectify the issue. So it was a problem for him. So when you give charity, you know there's different kinds of charity, goodness, passion and ignorance. If you give charity to somebody who wants to buy more cigarettes or beer, this is charity in ignorance. If you give charity for name and fame, this is in passion. Or you're giving charity to get something back, this is charity in the mode of passion. And if we give charity maybe just simply to destroy our past sins, to relieve us from past sins, then this is charity in goodness. Actually, charity in goodness, the highest charity, it should be done at the proper place, at the proper time, and to a worthy person. So Srila Prabhupada tells us the highest charity is to give charity for the Krishna consciousness movement. Put your money in this box. Right? That's the highest charity. You don't have to worry about trying to find a brahmana or anything, because Kali Yuga, you know, none of us are really brahmanas. So the safest thing is just put your money in that box. That's the best charity. And you get real benefit, you know. And you won't be put into the lower species of life. But do it with the right motive, you know, that you want to please Krishna. You want to make offering for Krishna. Any other comment, question? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanand ki jai.